We started a series on the subject of faith a while ago. I think this is week number 5. If you were not able to be with us, you can go online, ycf.com, press the button, you can listen to it. Or right in front of you are some envelopes. Open up the envelope and you write down, I want all the faith series that Pastor D's done. And they're free. Who likes free? Well, give me your free if you don't like free. I like free. All right. So I can't see anything because I just took my glasses off. They got smudges here. All right. I'm going to give you a quick review. Week number 1, we talked about what faith is. Everybody say, what faith is. And what we found out is faith is what you believe. Faith is what you're convinced of. Now, you can be convinced of some really goofy things. But when you're convinced of what God says, that's the right place. All right. So we talked about what faith is. Then we talked about week number 1, how faith comes. How faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. What's the second part? And hearing the word of God. So if every time you come to church, Pastor D is going to give you the word of God. Every time you go to a grow group, one of your home groups, and you hear the word of God. Every time you put a CD in, I was going to say tape, then you know how old I am. Put a CD in, right? And you're hearing the word of God. God, that brings faith into your life. Faith. So that's how you get faith, through the word of God. Week number 2, we talked about different stages in faith. Just like a baby, when they're first born, they don't do nothing except for cry and eat and you know what else. Then they go to the next stage. They start rolling over. Then they start, you know, sitting up and crawling. Well, there's stages to faith. All right. So it helps to understand stage 1 because you have to start in stage 1. So stage 1, we talked about how God will put hope. God will put a dream in your heart. Everybody say, a dream in my heart. So let's say you've got some kids that are off the chart, out of control. I've had a few years like that. Yeah, my kids were not perfect. I really tried. I thought they were. So God puts a hope, a dream in my heart that my life with my kids will get better. All right? And that's stage 1. Okay, and I started finding scriptures in the Word, and that's what helped put the vision in my heart, put a dream in my heart. All right, my kids will rise up and call me blessed. Hallelujah. I'm not going to slam the door and say, you're just a dumb parent. No, I found scriptures, and that's where my first step. Okay, so that was week number 2. Week number 3, we talked about when you walk by faith, God is going to bring you to a point you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision to take a step. So it's really nice to have hopes and dreams and visions in your life, but God's going to get you to the next place. You have to take a step. You have to take a step. For you, maybe it's start an own business or go back to school because God's put in your heart to do this other career. So he's put that dream in your heart. You have to do something, all right? So whatever it is, when you take the step, God will help you through it. All right. Week number 4, last week, we talked about there are times things just don't go fast enough. Anybody got some things with God that you go, man, this is going slow. Right? Anybody? Yeah, I have one. 30 years. I'm going, it's a little slow here. And what we found out last week is God operates on a different time zone than I do, than you do. All right. Anybody find that out? We talked about that place is called delay. From the first time you get a hope and a dream and a vision in your heart, till finally this answer shows up, this middle part, and we said this all the time, the middle part was, that's the delay part. And what do we do when we are in the delay? You have to get the CD to find out. So, today what I want to talk about is difficulties. Where difficulties come from, okay? Because if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to run into some difficulties, problems, stuff, all right? It is what it is. And anybody had some difficulties since you met the Lord Jesus? Maybe one? The rest of you, a pack of liars. You've all had difficulties. Are you kidding me? I know. I know a bunch of you. Okay, so we all run into difficulties, all right? Since whether you're a believer or not, you're going to run into difficulties. But we've got some answers as a believer, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's answers for when you get into those difficulties. So today what I want to talk about, one, is where do they come from? Where do they come from? Now, it's really interesting. Sometimes Christians have some goofy thinking. It's just, they're like, what? What did you say? All right? It's a little bit confusing. So I want to talk about where difficulties come from. So number one, a lot of people say it and act like difficulties come from God. Difficulties come from God. Problems come from God. Trials come from God. Whatever you want to call the stuff, they're going, well, that's God. All right? Now, it's interesting. If you're a believer and you're in faith, and you're in faith that God is a God of love, God is a God that gets you out of messes, He's a deliverer, all right? And if you're in faith, and then you go, God, I need you to help me out of this mess I seem to have. But how on earth, if He's the deliverer and you're blaming Him? That makes no sense. All right. So a lot of people are blaming God, but they're going, God, get me out of this mess. But they're blaming Him. God's going, what? All right. So praise the Lord. We shouldn't be blaming Him. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 10, would you all? Don't put it up yet, but I was going to say if you're taking notes, but I did it for you, okay? And the top part says difficulties come through three sources. Number one, it's the devil. By the way, he's not this cute little guy with horns and a little pitchfork that I saw a billion people dressed up for Halloween. I was like, no, baby, he's the enemy. And John 10:10 says what, everybody? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All right? That's what the enemy does. God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. All right? So, crazy part, I know people that believe there isn't an enemy. I was like, what planet are you living on? Okay? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All right? So God doesn't do that. Everybody say, the enemy comes to steal. Has he stolen anything? Yeah, he's the stealer. Kill? Yeah, yeah. Destroy? Yeah, yep. Lives, plans, visions. Okay, that's the enemy. Number two on your thing says relationships. Okay? The second area difficulties come from is relationships. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Friends. Family. Those are relationships. Pastor D, what are you talking about? How many parents in here? You're just living this great life. Life is so peaceful. And then one day your kid does something, and man, it gets a little difficult. All right? So some of the areas that difficulties come through is through relationships. How about husbands and wives? Man, you've got all these things working in your life, and then your husband does something. Your wife does something. I didn't do it. He did it. We were doing great until he did something. So some of the difficulties that you will encounter in life are from the enemy, the devil, and relationships. Now, we don't go shooting them. And by the way, if it's your spouse, they're forgiven, and you don't bring it up to them every other day for the rest of your life, right? You better. You're going to be in my office for counseling. Okay, number three, difficulties, what's it say? Come from yourself. Come from you. I have been known to make my own problems. Do I have to tell a story? No, I'll tell your stories. Okay, listen, you can make your own messes, all right? You can't even, sometimes I'm going, I can't even blame it on the devil. I just did it. All right. Now, if you notice, there's one, the devil, two, relationships, three, yourself. Did you notice there's not a number four? There's no number four there. Okay? Because I didn't put God there. A lot of people put God there. God is one of where difficulties come from. No, I didn't put God there. And I really don't care if Granny tells you some tall tale or you've heard some preacher tell you something. According to the Word of God, God does not do that. All right? So, when you're going through difficulties, what you need to do is apply the word, get in the word, find the answer, all right? Find the answer in the situation. And then God, now listen, don't hang on to every word. Then God will use, okay, let me back up. First, you find out what God says about the difficulty. You find out the answer that God says about this problem, the situation you're in first. And you are in faith for that. And then God will use the difficulty. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say God caused it. But if you've got the word going, he'll use that. And usually what happens, you become better, stronger, all right, as you get through it. But God did not do it. He is not number four. I didn't put a number four up there. Do you have a number four up there? Okay, just make so God does not the one that brought difficulties into your life. All right, now y'all are at 1 Corinthians, right? 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All right, I'm going to read out of the NIV, all right? But you guys going to throw it up there? I got the thumbs up. All righty. It says, no temptation. Okay, temptation, test. Difficulty, problems, yuck. Okay, but notice the first word, no. No tests, temptations, trials, difficulties has overtaken you, except what is common to man. Except what is common to man. That means somebody else has been through it. Matter of fact, everybody has gone through tests and trials, all righty? So common to man is there's probably some woman that's been through what you've been through. There's probably some guy that's been through what you're through, okay? So I like what Andrew Womack said. He said, it might be wrapped in a different paper and it might have a different bow, but inside the box, it's the same stuff. There's same stuff that everybody goes through. All right. Now, if you think you're the only one that's going through that, wrong. And you know what happens is the devil will use that. I'm the only one that's going through this. No one understands what's going on. And you know what he does? He'll convince you that you're the only one. And then you isolate yourself because nobody knows. I can't call anybody. Nobody knows how to get me out of this. Been there and done that. Didn't pick up the phone for 3 years. I thought I was the only one. And you know what happens after that? You lose your hope. This is a real amen service, I can tell. Okay, so no temptation has overtaken you except what is, everybody say, common to mankind. And God is faithful. Oh my gosh, God, you're so faithful. Father God, I thank you. You are faithful. You are faithful to me. You have always been and you are and you'll continue to be the faithful one. Man, I'd go home and be happy just right there. That's wonderful. My God's faithful. Anybody know about your God? He's faithful. I look at some of you. I've known you 30 years. I've watched God be faithful. Amen. So God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted... When you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure. All right. Praise God. Now, the Amplified says he'll provide a way out, a way of escape. A way of escape. How would you like God to give you a way out of your difficulties? How would you like him to go, hey, come over here. I got a way out of here. Come on. Anybody want that? Oh, yeah, baby. Okay. So now, how do you get a way of escape? Well, it says, where's my scripture here? I just copy them now. Oh, okay. He'll provide a way out and escape for you so you can endure. Now, what do you think God pulls out of his little bag of tricks is your way of escape? Money's not going to fall from heaven. Your kids, well, we'll leave that alone. Okay, I'll just tell you the answer. It's through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God and you applying the Word of God and you being in faith. That's your way of escape. Now, does God use people? Yes. Would you like to know my phone number? By the way, my cell phone works that I dropped in the potty 2 weeks ago. But so my phone number is 891-4569. And if you want to dump money for a way of escape, I'll take it anytime. Okay. Okay. You want to give away things? Go ahead. But this is what he does. He starts with his word. That is the word that will be the way of escape. Pastor D, you always talk about the word. What else is there to talk about? Are you kidding me? What else is going to get you out of your mess? Hallelujah. All righty. If you're taking notes, I think I wrote this down for you. Your quote. Ready? Your quote on the page. Faith isn't the absence of problems, difficulties, stuff. Faith isn't the absence of problems, but it's when you know God is bigger than any problem. Now, people tell me all the time, are you one of those word churches? Are you one of those faith churches? What am I going to say? No, I'm not a faith church. No, I'm a doubt church. No, I'm a no word church. Are you really? They just grill you for that. And I'm like, well, what kind of church are you? If you're asking that question, I already have the answer. All right. So, but it's interesting. We're a word church. We're a faith church. I'm just announcing. We are a word of faith church. In case you didn't know, run out now if you don't like it. Okay? We'll just close our eyes. 1, 2, 3, you can go. But listen, you know why? We believe the Bible. What's that called? The Word. Someone asked me the other day, well, Pastor D, what do you believe? Cover to cover, everything inside, okay? So we believe the Word and we believe in faith because it says without faith it's impossible. Well, please God. So today's announcements, you are at a Word of Faith church. Amen. And you will get the Word. Hallelujah. You're going to hear about faith. Hallelujah. All righty. Now, today I'm going to tell an Old Testament story. All right. I'm going to tell an Old Testament story. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to hang out there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, the reason why I'm going to do this, I want to get across some points about difficulties. Because in this story, there's this guy named Jehoshaphat. I'm so glad that wasn't my name. Jehoshaphat. And he was the king of Judah. Israel at that time was divided into two nations. See? Everybody got some stuff going on. There was Israel and Judah. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah at that time. All righty? And he gets this report that all these armies are going to attack him. I think he's got some difficulties. I think he's got some problems now, right? All right, so we're going to talk about some of the difficulties that he ran into. We're going to talk about how he trusted God. We're going to even talk about there was a point where he started to doubt at first, okay? Now, has anybody ever doubted at first? Have anybody ever gotten a bad report and the first thing your mind wants to do is go, ooh, yeah, okay. So he did it first, but it ends really well. All right. So here we go. Second Chronicles chapter 20. And it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of the Ammons and the others with them, they ganged up against Judah, all right? Besides, the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. They came against Jehoshaphat. And verse 2, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria and from the Hazon, la, 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 you know, wherever that place is, all right? You know, this chapter's got some names, and I'm going to go blah, 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 because I don't know how to pronounce them, okay? So just let Pastor D, you should try. I did. I tried all last night. Okay, now, On your sheet of paper, under 2 Chronicles, it says, when attacks come, be aware. When difficulties come, when you've got some problems, when you have some troubles, listen, this is be aware. Just be aware so you can say, I'm smarter than a fifth grader. Be aware. Number one, there's never a shortage of people to tell you have a problem. I'll never forget, it was about 6 years ago, my whole life had changed, and it was looking like, wow, attack over here, attack over here. And a good friend of Jack's came over to just encourage me. And halfway through, he goes, man, you got some problems. In fact, Pastor, they're pretty big. I don't know. Pastor, I don't know about this. I don't think you're going to do too well. It's bad. All right, thanks. I just want to tell you, there are people that are going to tell you you have a problem. You know, let me just warn you. Don't ever tell Sherry a problem. Because the first thing out of her mouth, she says, well, that's nice. Now, what's the solution? Oh, yeah, she does that. She's getting a little sweeter when she does it. But I like that. All right, so most people are not telling you the solution. All right, so number one, when attack comes, be aware there's never a shortage of people to tell you you got a problem. He had all his army guys come up and tell him, Syria, they're attacking over here, they're attacking over here. Okay, number two, when an attack comes, be aware you don't take the problem personally. You better underline that personally, okay? A lot of times when people are going through difficulties, everybody say difficulties. All right. They say, oh, the reason why I'm going through this, it must be my fault. The reason why I've got this problem, it must be my fault. You know what I hear? Me, 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 me. They take it personally. All right. So listen, anybody ever done that before? No, it's the church down the road. We don't do that. Yeah, right. Put your hand up there. All right. Listen, you all know, you all should know. All right, I'm going to tell you, we live in a fallen world. Thank you from Adam who sinned in the garden. This world's called the fallen world. It's a cursed world. We have victory, but it's a fallen world. That's just what it is. And it amazes me all the time when people say, I don't know why God is doing it to me, 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 me. They start taking it personally. Plus, did you see the first part? But the second part, they start taking it personally. So turn over to James chapter 1. I want to read you a scripture. James chapter 1. We are a word church, right? Go, turn over to James chapter 1. Okay, I am hot. This is it. Can't do it. Oh, except for I'm tied in here. Gee whiz. Vanessa, get me out of here. I'm like sweating. Okay, you can't stand up. All right. Sorry. Whew. Okay. I'm ready to say put the AC on. I can't do that. So Sherry picked out my outfit. She says, Mom, that scarf will look good. I'm going, oh, no, I'm going to get hot. Yep. Shoo. Okay. All righty. Where are we? James chapter 1. All righty. I'm going over there. James chapter 1, verse 13. Okay. Let no one say when he is tempted or going through difficulties, or going through trials, or going through problems. Let no one say God is tempting them, putting in trials, putting in difficulties. Let no one say, you know what that means? Don't say that. Don't say that. This is like one of those bad words you want to put a soap in your kid's mouth. Don't say that, all right? So let no one say when he is tempted, has difficulties, problems, I am tempted by God, all right? For God cannot tempt by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and entices. You know what he's saying there? He puts the light on you. He puts the light on you. It's you. Well, right? All right. Now, how many of you know it's easier to blame God? God, why are you doing this? All right. God, why'd you do this to me? Instead of saying, maybe I should start looking at what I did. Right? Okay, but it's easier. So It's easy to take it personally, number one. But if we don't take it personally, we usually blame God. It's amazing. It's amazing. So, okay, now jump down to verse 17. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. With whom there's no shadow of turning. You know what that means? God doesn't change. One day he's blessing you. One day he's causing problems. You know, it says every good gift, right? Every good gift comes. So every good gift, God does only good, right? Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God comes to give life and life abundantly. So God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. No exceptions. It's Sunday. I think I'm going to be the one that causes difficulties. Monday, I'll switch hats and I'll be the God that only gives good. No, it says there's no variations. He is always, no exceptions, always good all the time. So when we have problems, anybody got some problems? I had some doozies last week. Right? So when we have problems, we have to know that we have a God who is faithful. We sang a song. We have to know that we have a God who is faithful. He's faithful to bring us out, right, of whatever we're going through. All right? So I think I'm on number three. Are we on number three? When an attack comes, be aware that it's easy to get overwhelmed. I got overwhelmed last week. Matter of fact, I had a few moments. I cried. I'll be really honest. I just got this report, and it sunk on the inside. All right. Now, if you think mine was bad, here's Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. He's got this report. They're coming on all sides, and they're going to attack and defeat them. I think he might have been a little overwhelmed, right? Compared to mine, I think he was a little overwhelmed. Anybody have some situations you get overwhelmed? All right. Anybody besides me? All right. Now, have you ever noticed that they sort of come in waves? I call it the pile on. Monday, the dishwasher broke. The next day, the water pump went out of the car. The next day, you get a phone call from the school that your kid was running in the playground and chipped their front tooth. And there's another day coming. Anybody ever have the pile on? And then Granny, bless her darling heart, says, well, you know, honey, bad things always come in three. I'm like, thanks, Granny. Thanks, Granny. That just is so encouraging, especially if you're at number two. All right? So all this stuff piles on and you can feel overwhelmed. So be aware. Don't do that. And I'll tell you how to get out of that. All right? Be aware. Don't do that. Number four. When an attack comes, be aware that it's easy to get thrown at first. Have you ever got a bad report? And the first thing, I sort of, that was me this week. I just kind of threw me off my horse. Threw me off a horse. And then it was a little difficult to get back on that horse. I had to do some things, and we'll talk about that later. All right? Oh, yeah. I serve a God who's faithful. I serve a God who's called the deliverer. I serve a God who says I am one of his kids and he pours out his blessings on me. And I'm on the ground and the horse is up there. So, okay, I want to tell you the story. Yeah, I will. So a couple years ago, a good friend, I just happened to mention I'd like to go horseback riding. This is like 6 years ago. I was in better shape than I am now. And do you know how hard it is to get your foot up there? It's like up there. It was hard. So when I got on that horse, I'm like, I am hanging on because we do not want to fall off because I don't know how I'm going to get back on there. Okay. I don't know what that has to do. It's a good story. By the way, that's off my bucket list. I've done it. Okay. All right. Moving right along. So we did our four. How many of you back in high school or college, and you might even be there, love to take tests? Nobody does. Nobody does, right? No. And then, did you ever one of those people that you would study? You mean this is the one time you actually studied, and you'd get in there and you'd... Okay. So nobody likes to take tests. Now, why am I saying that? When we have difficulties, tests and trials, We have attacks. You want whatever word you like to use. It's really the enemy. It's life. Okay, we went over those things. That's trying to see whether you believe what you said. That's all it is. All right. Now, I still don't like taking tests. But the real reason of that test is it's pushing on you. Do you really believe? Do you believe what you said? Oh, do you believe that you're a believer? How many people have asked the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? And about a couple years ago, you do some big dumb things. And then the devil starts, well, you're not a believer. Look what you did. Okay. Do you believe you're a believer? Amen. Okay. Do you believe in healing? Amen. Okay. You said what? Yes, I believe in healing. You said what? That my marriage is going to be restored and be a light and be a blessing. You said what? You said what? Your kids are going to serve the Lord? All right. That's all that attack is about, guys. To see what you believe. All right. So if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes you are going to have some difficulties. Okay. And because that's just life. All right. But it's what you do. It's what you do when you're in that difficult time, that test, that trial. It's what you do. That's the key. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to wrap this up. Here we go. So when you have difficulties, wouldn't it be great if you could just go bury your head in the sand? Yeah. The worst I do is I just veg on the TV for a whole day. And then I go, that was stupid. All right. So what do you do when you go through difficulty? So we're going to go look at the Second Chronicles 20 again. And we're going to see what Jehoshaphat did. And I'm going to give you six things to help you through difficulties. Because you're going to have difficulties. Pastor D, your word of faith. No, I've just been around the block and there is an enemy. So you need to know what to do. Because you're a winner, but you won't be a winner unless you know what to do. All right. Number one, what's it say? Watch out. That's supposed to be out for emotional distortions. Okay. Now let me say, you got to watch out for your emotions. Amen. Your emotions should not get the best of you. Don't let them get the best of you. So in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, it says this. I've got to flip over here. Here we go. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared. Does that sound like an emotion? Okay, listen, fear comes in all different ways. It shows up, it looks different, but fear comes in all different ways. But what I found, when fear comes, guess what? Your emotions go wacko. And the nice word is distorted. See, I can write some nice words here. They go off the chart. Whoosh, all right, they get distorted. So down underneath one, it says you win the battle on the inside first before you win the battle on the outside. This should go on the refrigerator for a whole week. You win the battle on the inside first before you will ever win the battle on the outside. Okay. So the doctor comes and says, oh, you have cancer. Okay. Now, your emotions are going to try to take the best of you. They'll try to take you on a ride you do not want to get on. Right? So don't let your emotions get the best of you. Instead, you need to say what God says about the difficulty, all right? Or else you're going to have emotions. So this week I had a doozy of some things happen, and I would say over and over what God promised me, that I am a child of the Most High God, that He's never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. And He takes care of the orphans and the widows, because I is one. And He's called me the blessed. And He's called me with favor. And my emotions would hit. And I'd start that thing over and over and over and over. And then I'd be floating around really good. And then and I would say, because guys, this is how you win. You win. All right. If not, I would not be here today. Really? I was like, I'm not coming. I feel like crud. Don't you know what happened? That's when people, they do it. Well, I feel. Guess what that is? It's your emotion. All right, so I can peg you. Well, I wasn't feeling up to it, Pastor D. Whoop, I know where you are. All right, you're on number two. All right, so number three, the key to help you get through difficult times. Don't hesitate to run for help. Verse 4. So Judah gathered together and asked help. Did yours say help? Mine says help. Asked help from the Lord. And from all over the cities of Judah, they came to seek help from the Lord. All right, now, you're not a weak person if you ask for help. Now, obviously, and I'll get back to it, the first place you go to the Lord. But you are not a weak person if you ask somebody to pray with you, to stand with you, come alongside with you. Matter of fact, I think you're probably a smart person, really. All right? So, now, some people, this is hard for them to do. I can do this on myself. I don't need anybody. I got this. Yeah, we'll see you next year. Okay? All right? Especially if you're married. You're supposed to be going to your spouse and telling them, I need some help, all right? So, and listen, we see in the Bible all over, all through the Bible, how they went to the Lord and they went to other people for help, all right? So if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000, all right? So it sounds like you had to get some help and join up with somebody, right? So it's good to run for help. Now, you all know this, but I have to say this. You kind of have to watch out who you go for help to. Right? Don't go to Debbie Downer. All right? You know what I'm talking about? You know, okay? So run to the right people. And of course, you run to God, which means you run to the Word. All right? So number three, third key to get help through difficult times. And I'm telling you, this is the most vital one. This is where we're going to focus here. The most vital thing you can do is change the playing field by prayer. Change it by prayer. Change up how you're playing things by prayer. All right? Now, I've got four little points. I'm just going to go really fast. I'm not going to say too much on them, but really, why do I go to prayer? Why do we pray? Some of you don't know because we have prayer at 9:30 every morning. Then let me tell you why we have prayer. We have prayer also on Thursday. And we had men's prayer, and I'll say a little about that. But we pray because it refocuses our attention. I got a problem. I got a problem. I've got difficulties. I've got kids. I've got a wife. Oh, my gosh. When I pray, it refocuses, right? Okay, number two, prayer reminds us that God's faithful. Prayer reminds us that God's faithful. That's what Jehoshaphat did. He went to prayer and he started going over all the things that God had done for Israel. And he's like, oh, it reminds me that God is faithful. But if you're just looking at your troubles and your difficulties, you're going to sink. So prayer reminds us that God is faithful. Prayer redirects us to God. It redirects us. I have this one particular friend. She is a fixer. You got a problem? She fixes. You get on the phone, do the Google thing. That's just who she is. So I love to tell her some things. Please fix this. But listen, you can try doing some things and it's not working. But when you go to prayer, it redirects to the right person, to God. All right, to God. Verse 7, it says, this is what his prayer was. Let's go verse 6. Verse 6, this is when Jehoshaphat redirected, got into prayer, and he said, Oh, Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one's able to withstand you? Are you not God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? What's he doing there? Oh, man, he is redirecting. He's redirecting and he's reminding himself, God, you're big. And then he gets the focus back on the one who's going to take care of the situation. All right. And the last one, prayer reaffirms God's promises. And that was verse 7. God's faithful. God's faithful. Amen. I have a quote, and I don't think I wrote it on, typed it on there, because I was changing my mind five times. So here it is. Prayer is how you release a problem to God. Some of you like to hold them. No, prayer is how you release your problem to God, and it releases God to get into your problem. All right? I'm going to say that again. Prayer is how we release problems to God. You know that cast all your cares? That's where you release it. And you do it through prayer, all right? So how do you want to get your God involved in your kids' lives? Pray. How do you want to get God involved in your marriage? Pray. How do you want to get God involved in the things that are going on in your life? You need to pray, because prayer is how we release problems to God, and it lets God in to do stuff, all right? Okay, number four. We're back on number four. Okay, listen to the right people. Listen to the right people. Verse 14. So they've gathered all of Judah from Jerusalem, all the people from around, and they come in and they're going to pray. Or excuse me, Jehoshaphat is going to pray. And he prays this big, great prayer, gets their focus and redirects them. But then, down in verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of you-know-who, the son of you-know-who, the son of you-know-who, the son of you-know-who, because I'm not going to say all those words, a Levite. This was a priest that God spoke through. So he's speaking, God is speaking through this man. So we could say, God is speaking. God is speaking, right? The Spirit of the Lord came upon this guy. So God is speaking. And he said, listen, all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, listen. Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. What does yours say? For the battle is yours to fix? Mine says not. The battle's not yours, but God. All right? So, that's the right people to listen to, right? All right. And okay, jumping down to number five, you need to filter everything. You need to filter everything. And this is the filter system. This is the filter. All right. Listen, there's great counselors out there. And I actually tell people to go get counseling. And I even know some what you would call secular counselors. And they're just going to tell you the regular Joe Schmo stuff of life. Go ahead and do that. But sometimes you're going to have to filter even what they say through this, okay? You filter through the Word of God. Verse 20, I'm flipping the page. So they arose early in the morning. Yeah, Sherry wouldn't be there. She's sleeping. Don't tell her I said that. You know, I got up this morning and I had a pair of shoes on. And I go, tell me if you like these shoes. And she's like, Ma, I didn't have my coffee yet. I said, I got to leave. She's let me drink my... She's not awake. Okay. So they arose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord. Sounds like a little faith going, right? Believe in the Lord, and believe in the Lord your God, and he shall be established. Believe in the prophets, and you shall prosper. He was filtering it all back to what the Word had said. All right? He was what the Lord had prophesied in the prophets, okay? So you are going to filter everything through the Word. And tomorrow, you need to filter it through the Word. And the next day, you need to filter it through the Word, okay? Every difficulty that you have, I am delighted to say you filter it through the Word of God. All right? Now, so when you're going through a difficult time, filter it. Go through this. When you're going through a difficult time, find scriptures. Pastor D, I don't really know a whole lot of scriptures. Oh, I don't have it. Google. I did this. Bible answers for finances on my Google. Bing! All these scriptures popped up. Aside trying to get found from being lost, you know, I Google that. Where am I? How do I get home? And stuff like that. But you can Google it today, guys. People come up and say, Pastor D, do you know this scripture, 2 Corinthians 2:7? I don't know the whole Bible inside and out. I'm working on it. So a lot of times I Google. Okay. And then BibleGateway.com. Write that down. BibleGateway.com. Great site. Just, you know, two words in a scripture. And then you can press any version you want. Bing. Okay. So though Sherry and I have a thing going. She'll say, hey, Ma, do you know where this is? So we're kind of, and I'll say, 1 Peter. She goes, and then she does Bible Gateway. Bing, bing, bing. She goes, Mom, you're right. I was like, yeah. So we got this thing going here. But listen, that and back in the corner, in the foyer, on the left side is a bookstore. We've got the word in books. We've got prayer books, books that go by the topic. How to pray for your kids when they're acting like ridiculous. Okay, and you can buy one of those books and they'll give you scriptures. The word that you're going to get in your heart so that you can say it over the situation. All right, so everybody say Google. I love Google. But I'm going to tell you again, the only way you're going to get victory, guys, in your life is to filter your problems through the word of God. Not what the word says. The world, excuse me. Okay, last one. Here we go. The last key to help you get through difficulties. You need to thank God in advance. I'm going to say that again. You need to thank God in advance before you see the answer. Because if you are not doing that, you're not in faith. You need to thank God in advance before you see anything change. All right? Yep, this is why I love you guys up there. Here we go. So, now, verse 21. And when they had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. As they went out before the army, they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Okay, they were praising the Lord before they won the battle. They got this pickle. They got this difficulty. They got a mess. And what are they doing? Praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. Before anything changed, right? Before anything changed. So number one, you have to have the word, guys. You have to be, I'm a word person, Pastor D. You better be. Otherwise, you're going to be calling me up all the time. You know, sometimes I just don't answer my phone. Are you kidding me? They're calling me again? Yeah. No. Okay. Monday, my day off. Unless you say, blood and guts, Pastor D, on a text message, I just leave you alone, all right? You need to have the word. You need to be in the word. The more your faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, the more you have that word put in your heart, you'll be able to stand in faith, all right? But aside from the word, one of the most powerful things you can do is thank God. Rejoice. Rejoice, all right? It's like the final get you over the mountain. So sometimes in worship, we might say, the worship service is going on, and I'll say, hey, everybody, let's shout to the Lord. And some of you are thinking, Pastor, are you weird or something? Come on. This is Sunday. Do you know what I do on Sunday? I go home and watch football. I don't care who you are. It's like people hitting each other. So you watch football, and guess what you do? You're cheering and shouting. Come on, you're screaming crazy. All right? Why are you shouting? Why are you shouting at the TV at a football team? They're my team. God is my team that I like to shout about. So when I say, hey, let's shout to the Lord, Whose team are you shouting for, guys? Come on. It shouldn't be like yanking teeth and I'll give you a lollipop if you stand up and raise one hand. I'll give you two lollipops if you get two hands. And you can have cake if you lift your hands and shout to the Lord. Come on. I like my God. I like to shout to Him. So, now, you understand in this story in 2 Chronicles 20 that there was a natural battle going on. It's called war. W-A-R. They had swords and spears and stuff like that. They had a natural thing they were walking into, right? Now, what did they do? Somebody says, hey, I have this great idea. We should send the singers up front first. Now, most of us don't think the singers are the warriors, right? They don't look like the Marines, do they? I don't usually think of them. But you know what? The singers bring you into the presence of God. They bring God many times to us. And I always tell them, you make my preaching so much easier, so please. All right? So these are warriors. And they're here to help you get into the presence of God. Why? Some of you, you've been in some battles. They're bad. I wonder how you're going to get out of it, like they said to me. So I come in and I'm going to lift my hands. Because I like my God better than Penn State College football. All right. So, listen, guys. If you'd understand the concept of praise when you're in the difficult times, if you would understand the concept of praising and thanking and rejoicing when you're in the middle of, oh, my gosh. All right. If you would start shouting, God, you're my deliverer. God, you're the faithful one. God, I've never been forsaken or begging bread. God, I'm your favorite and your favor goes before me. If you would do that, it gets God involved. Otherwise, you're just that person trying to fix everything. Don't you want to get God involved? All right. So, in the book of Acts, there's this great story about Paul and Silas. They're imprisoned. They're in the inner prison. That's the ones down below. No sunlight. They don't have TV screens in their cell. They don't get three meals a day at your county prison, all right? They're in there, and it's cold. It's wet. It's actually where the sewer passes by. I'm pretty sure it's stinky. There's rats, and it says they are in shackles. Okay, their arms and their feet are bound up. Anybody know that story? Good. What do they do? It says they prayed. They got their redirected. They got their focus. They got everything going up that way. They prayed. And then they sang praises to God. And it said they sang praises and everybody in the prison heard. To do that, all right? Some of you just, well, I don't like the song they're singing. And you know, they prayed that everybody heard. They prayed and then they sang that everybody heard. And then it says, then suddenly the chains were broken off of everybody. Not just Paul and Silas, did it? It says everybody's chains were broken. When they prayed, and then they sang, they didn't sing, oh God, you're good. All right, I'm pretty sure the song was long. I'm pretty sure it wasn't the blues. God, I lost everything. I lost the woman. I lost the dog. That's not what they were singing. They probably sang Old Testament psalms, okay? That's probably what they were singing. But they prayed. Everybody say they prayed. And then they sang praises to God. So, I believe there's people here and you've got some chains on you. And there's no shame in having chains. We're not here to beat you up and make you feel bad. We're here to give you hope that there is a God who is faithful. And He likes to deliver people, break them out of chains. So this is what we're going to do. Especially if you've got some difficulties. You got some situations going on. You got a bad report. All right? This is what we're going to do. We're going to shout to the Lord. All right? And I can't make you, because you're not my little kid in my kitchen back when you were 3 years old and I got you gated in and I just make you do everything I want to. But I will tell you, this week, after I got this bad report, and it's made me sick to my stomach. My emotions, it just threw me. By the way, my health is fine. It's nothing goofy like that. Okay, y'all? Okay, so I just started declaring. I started saying the word, praying. And then I'm not a real big sing-sing, but I was declaring loud. But then I got to this point. God, you are so good to me. God, you are so faithful to me. You're my deliverer. I just praise you. I give you all praise and glory. And the more I did that, it's like, the chains broke off. And I will tell you, I am confident that He who started a good thing in my life is going to work the situation out. And it's not a problem. It's not my problem. Okay? So, close your eyes. We're going to...